Since April of 1985, this is the DX Audio Service.
Hi, DXers. Welcome to Market Scope for September 2012. This month, I've gone into the AirCheck library and blown the dust off of several old tapes. For your enjoyment, our two long-defunct, but nonetheless still great, radio stations.
Jimmy Charles, baby. I know. Thank you, Jimmy. Music that lives forever. KRLA and the Castaways and me, the real Don Steele. Liar, liar. Castaways, liar, liar, 423, KRLA, big time on the real Don Steele Mobile. Better check out that traffic with Pam Edwards.
Well, in the La Puente area, real Don, in the Pomona westbound past Azusa, there's been a three-car pileup on the right-hand shoulder. Van Nuys and Burbank Boulevards are already closed. I'm Pam Edwards, KRLA, traffic.
If you're looking for a great time in New York City,
available at most area stores.
Hey, tomorrow. High noon, join Johnny Hayes for the Big 11 Countdown as he spotlights May 1962. That's tomorrow at noon on all oldies, 1110 KRLA. Hit it.
KRLA remembers 1957.
Blue Monday. How are you, Blue Monday?
Best Domino, Blue Monday, all oldies on KRLA. Yeah.
And the oldies keep on coming.
1110
34 now, KRLA big time. Let's check out that KRLA weather scope tonight. Clear skies, low 58 degrees. Tomorrow, cloudy in the morning, sunny in the afternoon. Highs near 75. Currently in the valley, 66. Orange County, 68. Beaches, 65. And it's 66 degrees right now at KRLA.
Staining the wood on your home is a major investment.
There's a Love's Restaurant in Hollywood and Westchester. Hey, your chance to win 100 California lottery tickets is coming up. Each ticket could be worth over $3 million to you. You keep listening for your chance to win big in the grand game, the KRLA Gold Rush, only on AM 1110. It pays to listen to KRLA.
The real Don Steele.
Baby, 441, KRLA big time, out the real Don, the mobile book. Let's check it out, the traffic with Pam Edwards.
Real Don, the Pomona Freeway's got some problems in the Chino area. Going west at the Corona Freeway, there's been an injury accident reported in traffic. And on the Ventura eastbound at Liberty Canyon, a non-injury accident to report. I'm Pam Edwards, KRLA traffic.
This is the last time I come to the Pizza Makers.
Open your Chevrolet dealer today and get the financing you're driving for.
On the heart and soul of rock and roll, KRLA. Bill Haley and the Comets.
See you later, alligator.
Well, I saw my baby walking. There's another man today.
That's all. Goodbye.
KRLA gets domed.
Stand by me, Benny King and me, the real Don Steele, right by me, 449 now, KRLA, big time do it.
You always wanted a Jeep, admit it.
Now, at Robinson.
Join KRLA's own circus ringmaster, Danny Martinez, this Friday, May 16th at 7:30 p.m. at Circus Vargas, Santa Anita Fashion Park in Arcadia. It's KRLA 2-for-1 night. Look for opening night coupons in your local paper. More fun from all oldies, KRLA.
And we're talking. From Los Angeles, this is KRLA News.
A mistrial declared in a child molestation case. I'm Lou Henry with a live at 4:55 update. The KRLA weatherscope just ahead of much more music. And the real Don Steele. Clear tonight, low 58. Low clouds tomorrow morning, then sunny, high 75. Currently 66 in the valley, 69 in Orange County, and 70 at KRLA. It's 5 o'clock. I'm Lou Henry.
All oldies, all the time.
11-10.
KRLA, Pasadena.
The real Don Steele.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm the real Don Steele, and the heart and soul of rock and roll, K-I-L-A, that means all oldies, all the time, Fontella Bass, rescue me. To Tammy and be the real Don's deal. I understand all that stuff. 508 now, KRLA Big Time Mobile. Gotta check it out now. That traffic with Pam Edwards.
Well, real Don, on the Golden State northbound at Burbank, there's just been an accident reported. And on the 605 north, just past Rose Hills, another accident to report. I'm Pam Edwards, KRLA Traffic.
93.1 KKHR Los Angeles weather. A bunch of overnight clouds. Sunny and cooler tomorrow afternoon. We get up to about 72. Sunny Monday high then about 75. Today's high was 80. At the Convention Center downtown, 78. At Universal Studios, it's 79. 73 in Hollywood on 93.1 KKHR. What did he say? I said KKHR. Here's E.G. Daly, better known as Elizabeth Daly, already a movie star in the last Pee-wee Herman movie. Say it if you want my love at KKHR. I'm gonna get you to remember. Debuting at number 30 at 93.1 KKHR, that's E.G. Daly. Say it. Let's see if that makes American Top 40 with Casey Kasem on Sunday morning. Tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., you can wake up to that around here. Hey, we at Disneyland want to say way to go and congratulate all you graduating high school seniors out there with a special grad night party just for you and your friends. You can join KKHR's Mark Hansen, Todd Parker, and Mark Mendoza, three of the more loonier people you'll never meet in your entire life in one room. They'll be at Disneyland for the best all-night graduation party yet. Can't mention any names, but performing will be some of the hottest bands of 86. You can see your school activities director for more details and get ready for Grad Night 86 at Disneyland. KKHR jocks are compensated for their appearances. It's 356.
Good. Nobody fights rust like Rust-Oleum.
KKHR. 93.1 KKHR. The sound you just heard kicks off the first of at least 10 great songs in a row, and you say, so what? Well, if I goof up and play nine, you're the first person to catch old Jackson. You get $10,000 in cash like Jamie Ryan of La Cañada did. It happened not long ago. It can happen to you. Pet Shop Boys, the number one song for the fourth week in a row. One of three different versions of this tune. Here's the extended version. West End Girls at 93.1 KKHR.
KKHR. This hour, at least 10 songs in a row, or you can win $10,000. You can count on the music. 93.1 KKHR, Los Angeles.
And there is a very subdued Jackson Armstrong in the final days of Hit Radio 93 KKHR. Remember, if you have great radio in your town and would like to share it with all your DX friends here in the audio service, send your recordings to me, Phil Wayne, at 7545 County Highway 71. Harpster, Ohio, 43323-9364. We all thank you in advance for your help. Now here are the musings from the members.
This is Musings of the Members. The opinions are those of the speaker and do not represent the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, or its editors.
This is John Wesley Smith from Hallsville, Missouri, and I believe one of the radio stations Mike Lance was asking about was 1320 in St. Louis. And for many years now, as long as I can remember, it goes back into the 80s at least, 1320 has been KSIV, Kilo Sierra India Victor, and it is part of the Bot Broadcasting Network. I think it was one of the first stations that they acquired, because they started out with a station in Kansas City initially years ago. They're the AM station for Bot, and they also have an FM station at 91.5 there in St. Louis now. But Bot plays back-to-back Christian programming, preaching programming, and it's a commercial station. So hope that helps.
Hello, fellow DXers. Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. Well, last weekend we had a great convention in Bridgeport, West Virginia. I'm sorry more of you couldn't have made it. Those of you who didn't, you don't know what you missed. Believe you me. Bill and Brenda Swiger outdid themselves. They're wonderful people. They're very hospitable. And we really had a nice time. I enjoyed the trip down and back. Heard a lot of good radio stations. Listened to Ramblin' Lou's station going through Western New York and as far down as about Erie, Pennsylvania, where we stopped and had dinner on the way down. And then there were some other stations in Pennsylvania, Washington and Waynesburg and Cannonsburg, playing good country music. And there was really a lot of it. There was a lot of good sports stations, too, that I got to hear. Rumor has it that we might have the convention in Minneapolis next year, and if we do, I hope Mark Durenberger runs it, and maybe we can get to a Twins game. I know he has some tie-ins with their radio network. I've been getting some good reception. The Skywave's been very good all of a sudden this week. Stations are starting to come up better again at night. I hope we're through with those solar flares and sunspots and what have you. I've been picking up a lot of stations in Pennsylvania early in the morning, even after daylight, and WLW Cincinnati has been coming up out here on the veranda enough that I can hear it on my new Sea Crane EP portable radio, which I am very fond of. Sold my Grundig at auction, of course, was glad to give the money to the club. My friend Gary Siegel in Toledo got it, and I sincerely hope that Gary will enjoy the radio as I did.
Hi, everybody. Name here is Alex Kaminsky here in Dayton, Ohio, and I'm looking forward to another DX season here this fall in the ultralight category. Just like to say that I do enjoy the DX audio service as a supplement to a regular subscription. At this point, I think I would like to see some explanations of the U1 and U2 and U4 categories of antennas and patterns. Also, like to say that I enjoy some of the historic air checks and history into the background of broadcasting. Other than that, everybody have a great DX season. Thanks.
Hello, everyone. Joe Schwab from Fredericksburg, Virginia, here on September the 20th with a couple of items for you. First of all, I was talking to the program director of Fox Sports Radio, and ironically enough, they're not owned by News Corp. They actually are owned by Clear Channel. Don't ask me why they're Fox Sports Radio and owned by Clear Channel instead of News Corp, but that's what he told me, and he said that they had been owned by Clear Channel for the past 12 years. So I don't know what the history on that is, but anyway, that's an interesting development on that situation. The other piece of news, WNEW in Morningside, Maryland on 1580, now carries the Peter Schiff show between 10 and noon instead of the G. Gordon Liddy show. Whether his contract with Radio America ran out or the NEW canceled it, I, of course, have no idea. But that's the latest on that situation. 7301 from Fredericksburg, Virginia. Have a great fall coming up.
Hello, fellow DXers. Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. Sorry to report the death of a dear friend of mine, known as the Truckin' Bozo, Dale Summers. He was on WLW Cincinnati all night for 20 years, geared toward the truckers, and he really loved country music. He played true country music, and he made no bones about it. He liked working at stations that would give him the freedom to do so. Well, yesterday was Tuesday, August the 21st, and a couple of things happened. One, 23 miles down the road here in Hamilton, 820 had been CHAM again, been country music station for at least the second time, maybe more. They made another change, and now they've gone to all comedy, and they're now known as Funny 820. Astro Media owns another station in London, 1410 CKSL. They went to the comedy format the day after Christmas last year. Astro owns another station in London, Ontario, on FM 97.5, And they went from what they were doing, which I think was old rock, to Christian heritage radio.
And that is our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. And if you'd like to muse, give us a call at 419-741-0205, 24 hours a day for EDXN and DX Audio Service members.
Now a bit of radio history. We remember a quirky musical art form, the radio jingle. Now, we're not talking about the kind of jingle that advertises toothpaste, you'll wonder where the yellow went, or coffee. These jingles were about the radio stations themselves. Jingles were a staple of radio, especially Top 40 radio, for decades. Fred Wasser tells us about these little songs between the songs.
You might remember a jingle or two from one of your hometown stations.
WCHL Memory. K-I-N-Y, Juno. Music Radio WLS, Chicago.
Jonathan Wolfert has been producing jingles for more than 40 years.
It was, to use the current terminology, the branding or the imaging of the radio station.
Jingles helped to create a station's personality. Throughout the 1960s and 70s, New York's WABC, a 50,000-watt powerhouse heard up and down the East Coast, was the top 40 gold standard.
Dan Ingram.
The jingles were the exclamation marks between records. The greatest station in the world. WABC, you know, whatever.
Dan Ingram hosted Afternoon Drive on WABC throughout the 1960s and 70s. He says his show would have sounded dull without the jingles.
If it was a tool, I could play with it one way or another, in between some of the other banality that was on, including me. I either sing along with it or comment on it or use it to make a comment. So whatever the jingle was, it had a purpose.
The Four Seasons made it to the top in just 1 week with Ragdoll here in your Dan Ingram show.
During their heyday, jingles were often as familiar as the top 40 tunes themselves. Ken Deutsch is a former jingle producer, collector, and self-described jingle freak.
When I'm in my car, like this morning on the way over here, I was listening to a CD of jingles.
He's even written a two-volume history of radio jingles. Deutsch says that between 1960 and 1975 or so, a top 40 station without jingles would have been unthinkable.
When AM was very popular, usually in each market, you know, name any market, you had two top 40 stations battling it out. You know, they both played the same music, and they both had the same commercials, and they both had screaming top 40 disc jockeys, and what separated them was the jingles.
You might think the jingles were produced in New York or Los Angeles. Some were, but the epicenter of the jingle industry was Dallas, Texas, launched by two musicians in the 1950s.
Tom Merriman and Bill Meeks. And these guys were staff musicians at radio stations at a time when radio stations had staff musicians. Tom Merriman was a great singer in his day, great baritone voice. Bill Meeks played saxophone very badly.
We don't know who was first, but they each, separately, came up with the idea of mass-producing jingles. The vocalists with their studio bands would sometimes sing the call letters of their radio stations while announcers were changing shifts. Meeks and Merriman started pre-recording these types of jingles for stations around the world. Out-of-work composers, musicians, and singers got wind that there was work in Dallas, and an industry took off. Since many of the musicians came from big bands, it's not surprising that jingles from this era had a jazzy feel.
KFWB, Channel 98. Every time.
Jingles in various forms remained important to almost all radio stations for decades. But by the 1990s, they were sounding old-fashioned. Jonathan Wolfert still produces jingles at his company Jam Creative Productions, although the business has changed.
Going from a Beatles song to a Rolling Stones song with this big band thing in the middle, that was okay then, but now it would be kind of what? You know, especially if you were putting it between a Beyoncé song and a Taylor Swift song.
So today, though some stations still use the classic singing jingles, up and down the radio dial or on the internet, you're more likely to hear a kind of scaled-down jingle without the singing. It's called a sweeper.
9, 8, 7.
98.7 Simon.
We play everything.
Sure, it's hip and it's smart, but those old jingles were more fun. For NPR News, I'm Fred Wasser.
Friends tips, radio still drive musical choices. An article by Edna Gunderson in USA Today. The digital revolution may not be as revolutionary as believed, according to a music survey that found listeners more in tune with friends' tips and radio than blogs and social networking. The Nielsen study shows that file sharing, legal and illicit, is not a primary source of discovering and acquiring music, and that only about 10% of fans share music on social network sites. Those uploading music, about 8%. Positive recommendations from friends are most likely to influence music purchases for 57% of the respondents, compared to the 27% who prefer music blogs and chat rooms. Data was collected from 3,000 online surveys for the Nielsen Music 360 study, a comprehensive look at U.S. consumer interaction with music, where it's consumed, through which devices, apps, and services, digital versus physical preferences, the process of discovery, buying decisions, retailer choices, concert attendance, and more. An overview report was released to record labels, distributors, retailers, advertisers, and agencies. Results indicate that the airwaves remain a dominant influence. 43% discover music most often through radio, while 13% are alerted to new tunes and acts via friends and relatives, and 8% by watching YouTube. Details. Each month, consumers spend an average of $22.70 on music, $36.60 on video games, and $83.30 on TV packages, not counting premium channels. Digital albums and tracks were deemed a very or fairly good value by 62% and 61% respectively, while 56% identified physical CDs as a very or fairly good value. Young consumers, 33% of teens and 34% of those 25 to 34, purchased a digital album or track within 1 week of release. The group aged 18 to 34 frequents live music events most often, with 6% attending once a week or more and 32% once a month. But teens are more likely to buy T-shirts at a concert, 54% compared to 46% of the 18 to 34 set, and posters, 14% of teens compared to 7% of the 18 to 34 folks. Among smartphone owners, 53% have music player apps, 44% have radio apps, and 28% have music store apps. The recession has reduced spending on music to a large degree for 26% of the 25 to 34 age group, 38% of those 45 to 54, and 40% for respondents 55 and older. And that report on a recent Nielsen survey entitled Friends Tips, Radio Still Drive Musical Choices was written by Edna Gunderson and appeared in USA Today.
You're hearing the sounds of radio from around the nation and around the world. This is the DX Audio Service.
I'm asked this question or a variation of it almost every week. It goes something like this. I've been thinking about buying a shortwave radio, but I've heard that shortwave is dying out. Is there actually anything to listen to on shortwave? Should I even bother? Well, it's no wonder I get asked this question so much. First of all, the root website for the SW Welling post is swelling.com, which is dedicated to teaching people the basics of using a shortwave radio. In fact, if you search the internet for shortwave radio reviews or how to use a shortwave radio, you'll most likely see this site somewhere near the top of the search results. So it makes sense that many of our readers are just starting out in shortwave. But the primary reason people wonder about shortwave's vitality and want to check its pulse is due to the recent news about shortwave broadcasters leaving the spectrum. Most recently, Radio Canada International, Radio Netherlands Worldwide, Radio Bulgaria have all closed up shop. And broadcasters like the BBC World Service and Vatican Radio have trimmed down their shortwave radio offerings. It's unfortunate and does make the continuation of shortwave seem doubtful to those who know less about it. So question, is there anything to listen to? Answer, absolutely. Regular shortwave radio listeners already know the answer to this question. Sure, the landscape of shortwave is changing, but it's such a vast landscape that even with a few major players dropping out, there is still so much to hear and appreciate. In fact, we've only been talking about governmental international broadcasters in the main, which doesn't even include pirate radio, clandestine stations, utility stations, religious networks, spy number stations, digital modes, and ham radio communications, among others. Doubt me? Well, then check this out. I call this 250 kilohertz of 31 meters on a Friday afternoon. Last Friday, I spent the afternoon reviewing the WinRadio Excalibur Software-Defined Receiver, or SDR. Perhaps my favorite feature of many of the modern software-defined receivers is their ability to record not only individual shortwave broadcasts, but also record radio spectrum. In other words, instead of recording a single station on 9555 kHz, the WinRadio Excalibur and similar SDRs could easily record everything between, say, 9410 and 9635 kHz. Later, you can play back the spectrum to listen to and record individual broadcasts as if they were live. At least, this is exactly what I did last Friday at 20 hours UTC. Fast forward to yesterday. While listening and tuning through the 5-day spectrum, I once again realized how many stations are crammed into this relatively small chunk of shortwave spectrum. Yet I only captured about 250 kilohertz, or 0.25 megahertz, of shortwave spectrum. To put this in perspective, this is a chunk of spectrum so small, you could fit four of them between 95 and 96 on your car's FM dial. And what did I find? A lot of stations, and a lot of variety. In fact, I then went through and recorded 8 samples of the stronger broadcasts. Here's some of what I heard in that small swatch of spectrum. The Voice of Greece, 9240 kilohertz.
That is Menomachia. That was a mix of our acting. Εδώ Αθήνα, η φωνή της Ελλάδας. Ελληνική ραδιοφωνία. Ένα τραγούδι του Μάνου Λοΐζο. Ελευθέρη Παπαδόπουλου. Σε μια διαφορετική εκτέλεση.
The Voice of Iran, 9460 kilohertz.
Burayı satılmış kılıçtan alınan bir eski şehir fıstıklığıyla kubat alıyor. Halkalı şeker.
WWTW, 9478 kilohertz.
Broadcasting from near the banks of the Upper Cumberland River, this is WP, WW, Lebanon, Tennessee, USA.
The United States to Canada, Europe,
Russia, South Africa, Australia, the Holy Spirit is stirring the hearts of godly Christians. The Bible says, quote, stirreth up his nest, end quote.
We invite you to stay tuned as Pastor Peter J. Peters shines the mighty light of the gospel.
Deutsche Welle, 9490 kilohertz.
DW, Deutsche Welle. News.
This is Jesse Wingard in Bonn. The United Nations Security Council voted unanimously on Friday to extend the monitoring mission in Syria for 30 days.
Radio Riyadh, 9555 kilohertz. Radio Marti, 9565 kilohertz.
Radio Marti, llevando el mundo a tu radio. Y las noticias que no se publican en la isla. Radio Marti, transmitiendo para Cuba por los 1180 AM por onda corta.
The North Quebec Service, 9625 kilohertz. The Voice of Turkey, 9635 kilohertz. Note that there are many, many other stations. I only focused on those that were fairly strong and provided armchair listening. I didn't set out to find the most active piece of shortwave spectrum. I chose this one pretty much by chance. So, is shortwave radio dead? Only if you're not listening. Perhaps the real fascination I find in listening to recorded spectrum, as I did with my SDR, is that each time I go back through a recording, listening carefully, I find so many other items that I would have otherwise missed. In other words, the better your ears, the more you will hear. And there's lots to hear. So what are you waiting for? Prove it to yourself. Pull out your portable radio, your tabletop, or your general coverage ham radio transceiver, and just listen. There's still a vast, informative, oftentimes mysterious world out there on the shortwaves, simply waiting for your ears.
You're listening to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service.
How to Help AM Radio in 6 Steps, an article written by David Webster and appearing in a recent Radio World magazine. AM radio needs help right now. Broadcasters must find ways to keep themselves relevant and heard to finally regain or at least stabilize listenership at current levels. In order to do this, we must improve the received quality of current stations while transitioning to a new digital broadcast band. Here is a set of suggestions that I believe could add health and longevity to the service. 1. We should seriously reevaluate Richard Arsenault's recent proposal, which the FCC was quick to dismiss without even opening it to comment, for an across-the-board power increase for all AMs. This would allow stations to punch through the current interference that renders stations unlistenable and would not require the purchase of a single new radio to get the payoff. It wouldn't have to be the 10 times increase as proposed, but there may be a reasonable middle ground at which improved signals can be cost-effective and politically palatable. 2. It's imperative that we implement a plan to move stations to a new broadcast band, such as the Broadcast Maximization Committee's proposal for the channels 5 and 6 TV spectrum, or the alternate proposal from the DRM Consortium of Establishment of Local DRM Digital in the 26 MHz space. In fact, the proposed use of DRM in the 26 MHz band has already been successfully field-tested in Mexico, Germany, and Brazil, with papers documenting its viability. Broadcasters need a modern infrastructure that can be competitive and take AM into the future. One that is not prone to the unfortunate physics and haphazard allocation history of the current AM band. 3. We should allow mechanisms for band congestion thinning, which would allow stations to propose negotiated interference between each other or allow for signals to be bought for the sole purpose of surrendering or adjusting licenses to allow for stronger or better positioned stations to up power or open their directional patterns. Troubled or non-competitive stations could sell accepted interference or go dark for payment by an interested party, which is certainly a more positive option for cash-strapped signals that may be headed for permanent darkness and insolvency. A pay-for-play environment would accelerate deals of this nature. This activity could be simultaneous to current stations making the switch to translators or a new digital band. An extension of this concept would allow a station that had attained a translator to go dark on its AM and transfer the translator status to a new type of low-power FM license. 4. Let's look into synchronous AM transmission systems. A smaller number of synchronous AM nodes at lower power scattered throughout a listening area could keep power densities high near listeners, yet have a lower interference and skywave profile. With GPS and today's ability to lock transmitters in time, self-interference could be kept quite low on the same frequency with this solution. The picture becomes more interesting with digital transmission, in that the idea of single-frequency networks with HD radio or DRM was considered and designed into their systems from the beginning. Examining this idea of a sort of cellular AM might help solve some of the current issues. Additionally, it could be implemented with low-profile, albeit less efficient, transmitting antennas, and at relatively low cost due to the much lower power levels involved. Perhaps some cells could be located at business concerns, and lease considerations could be bartered for advertising time. 5. Let's reopen the case for transmission antenna improvement. It's astonishing that with all the supercomputing power available, which allows us to simulate everything from protein folding to nuclear weapons detonations, that we could not be able to apply our technological savvy toward creating a viable anti-skywave antenna for AM. The idea of stations turning off or greatly reducing coverage at sunset is unbelievable today, and it harks to a different time. You certainly don't have a fighting chance to compete with FM, Sirius XM, TV, games, or Pandora if you're effectively off the air because you had to reduce power. 6. Finally, the web and streaming are here to stay and are quite good, if not the easiest, to locate and tune into for non-techie listeners. So how about putting a data signal in AM and FM transmissions that will tell an IP-connected enabled radio where to find it in cyberspace? When it gets a lock, it will transition to the stream, a kind of pilot tone or beacons for the web. This could further be developed to allow for narrow zone casting of material or advertising based on demographic profiles or the location of the receiver at a given moment. These are just a few suggestions, and there are many more out there, but one thing is for certain. If things stay as they are now, the service will not survive. And that would be a terrible loss for current and future listeners. I find it amazing that the conversation about opening up the airwaves to new local or niche broadcast entities via LPFM rages on, while we already have thousands of local AM broadcasters who could put up innovative and locally focused content if the revenues were there for them. It's simple math. Less listeners equals less revenue. If they can't hear you, they can't listen. I hope the ideas keep coming and that we can all put our heads together to move this service into the future. And that, written by Dave Webster, who is CEO of VSI HD Media in Southington, Connecticut, appeared recently in a Radio World magazine. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service.
Thanks, Mark. Now another article from Radio World magazine titled Owners Are Investing in the Future of AM. It's written by Tom F. King, who is an engineer and president of Kintronic Labs Incorporated. They make antennas for AM radio stations and phasing units. Tom's article reads as follows. It seems that AM radio is being redefined. What we knew in the 20th century as antenna-to-antenna AM terrestrial radio is now being described post-millennium as program content delivery. As a result of the rapidly expanding technologies, the role of terrestrial-delivered AM radio has been framed increasingly as an inferior media, old-fashioned, and irrelevant. Well, I'd like to set the record straight. From the perspective of an AM radio antenna system manufacturer who works with AM broadcasters every day, I can say that broadcast station owners in the United States and abroad are investing in the future of AM radio and digital radio. Why is this? The model of a free single point source of information to the masses is still needed and it still works. AM radio propagation is unique from FM radio and television in that it propagates along the ground as well as via the ionosphere, skywave bounces at night, which is the reason that I often listen to WCBS in New York City, WWL in New Orleans, WSB Atlanta, and WSM in Nashville, the legend, the Grand Old Opry's famous station. Simulcasting with FM does not replace the nighttime coverage that you get with AM stations. I was just speaking recently with Saul Levine, owner of KMZT AM in Beverly Hills, which operates on 1260 with a Kintronic Labs 20 kilowatt directional antenna daytime and 7.5 kilowatts directional antenna night, wideband phasing and matching system, about his experience as an AM radio station owner and operator. he has been using a classical music format on AM radio for several years and has found it to be very successful in the LA market. In fact, he informed me that he frequently receives calls from listeners who live in the canyon suburbs of Los Angeles and want to express their great appreciation for the fact that they are able to receive his station even when FM reception is impossible. Levine emphasized that he is successful with AM radio because he gives people what they want to hear. He thinks AM has a bright future. In 2010, my company, Kintronic Labs, was involved in supplying a 50-kilowatt AM directional antenna system for a new Metro DC radio station starting in a farm field. As envisioned, this station was to serve a targeted demographic that was not, at the time, being reached by radio at all. Today, this multi-million-dollar radio station is yielding dividends. Another example of a recent major AM radio investment we were involved in was, to much success, took place across the border in Vancouver, British Columbia. A 2-tower 50-kilowatt AM station and a 5-tower 50-kilowatt AM station were placed on the same site, again starting from scratch, in an alfalfa field. Our company was grateful for the opportunity to participate in what proved to be a well-managed and exceptional team effort to implement this complex project. Both stations were designed for both analog and digital AM radio operation. Broadcasters do not invest this kind of money in AM radio stations unless they project a long-term return on their investment. With the demise of DAB radio in Canada, the Canadian broadcasters are turning more and more to AM and FM terrestrial radio, particularly to compete with U.S. stations as HD becomes a little more commonplace. At the moment, Kintronics Labs is involved with AM radio customers in the design, supply, installation, and commissioning of new analog or digital-ready AM transmission facilities in various states, domestically, and in numerous countries worldwide. When you listen to the difference between an analog and digital AM radio and analog or digital FM radio, AM stands out. This is why we see digital AM radio as remaining a player in the future, whether the station is analog or digital. What drives the decision for new investment in AM radio is the demand for unique programming to an unserved target audience in growing markets. I hope this provides you, the reader, with more encouraging perspectives regarding the future of AM radio. There are many more success stories like the ones I've just given you, in which AM radio broadcasters are providing reliable free news, information, sports, and entertainment to their respective communities across the United States. And that article was from Radio World Magazine.
Good afternoon, this is Drive Time across Kent. Now the latest BBC News. It's 5 o'clock. The news is read by Jamie Stevens.
Fuel placards have.
And finally, the BBC is undertaking a 5-week trial from the 17th of August to the 24th of September to switch off existing medium wave AM services for 4 BBC local radio stations. They are BBC Radio Kent, BBC Radio Lincolnshire, BBC Radio Merseyside, and BBC Radio Nottingham. Why are they doing this? The BBC is required to make savings. One option is to make savings and preserve value to license fee payers is to switch off the medium wave services except where listeners depend upon medium wave as an alternative to FM and DAB. Medium wave services mainly duplicate what is already available on FM and DAB, and most listeners will be able to hear their local radio station on FM. But BBC is also committed to a full rollout of local radio stations stations across the DAB network. If local radio is not already available on DAB, it will be in the future. The aim of the trial is to get better understanding of the impact and loss of medium wave to the core listeners, and also to enable the BBC to ensure adequate coverage is available on other platforms in the areas.
BBC Radio Kent, it's 5 minutes past five.
Dominic King.
BBC Radio Kent.
And that is it for this edition of the DX Audio Service for September 2012. We'll see you in 30 days with more DX stuff. Remember, get out and support radio.